I'm going to ask that you stand this morning as we open God's Word. And if you would please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 and end with verse 10. It says, "Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Let's pray. Father in God, I pray right now that, Lord, you would anoint me with your fresh oil, that I would speak the very words that you've placed in my heart. Father, I thank you, Lord, for you preaching this message to me, preparing me to preach it to your people. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit right now would control everything that is said, everything that is done. And I pray, Father and God, that we realize that we all have a divine appointment with you today. Lord, I ask that we indeed would be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we open your holy word. Father, I pray that you make it real to us. Lord, if we need to be changed, I pray, Lord, that we would give you permission to do so today. Lord, I pray that we would willfully surrender and that you would be glorified through us, in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Kind of introduction to this series, God placed on my heart really probably about a month and a half ago. Go and do likewise. Now, we go all the time. We are a going people. Amen? You got up this morning and you said, "I am going to go to church." You will leave here and you will go to lunch, or you will go home. When you get up in the morning, you will go to work, or you will go out and work in your garden. We always go. We do that very well. But the problem comes in the doing. This "go and do likewise" is actually a command. It's found in the last verse of the parable about the Good Samaritan. Jesus says, "Go and do what? Likewise." We've seen this video, and we talk every week about what the church is or what the church is not. And I'm telling you something right now. I'm preaching to the church this morning. You see, the church belongs to God Almighty. He bought it. He paid for it. He loves it. He cares for His church. And He is going to choose to bless those who seek Him first. And so as I began to think about this, go and do likewise, I said, "God, where does the rubber meet the road?" And here's where it is. Just do it, Alan. If Jesus says, "Go and do likewise," then I am what? I'm just to do it. Now, that's very familiar because it's the Nike slogan, or logo, not slogan. Nike's logo. Go and do likewise, but it's a choice. It's a choice that you and I must make. As we read this scriptural reference, I think it explains two ways people see Jesus Christ, okay? So this is kind of going to lead in to verses 9 and 10, which I want to talk to you about this morning. But two ways people see Jesus. Number one, they see Jesus as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And when people see Jesus like this, the reaction is always, Scripture says, disobedience. You see, you and I come into church every Sunday or every Wednesday, or we're over ministries, and you know what? We're living a disobedient life because we're not going and we're not doing likewise. And I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching to myself. Paul says that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 2:14. This form of suppression is a willful defiance for which a person can and will be held accountable. Romans 1:19 through 21 addresses the fact that every human being, and this is important that we understand this, every human being, that includes you, that includes me, that includes the lost, every human being has an inherent knowledge of God. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made or created, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, church, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Do you see the world that we live in? Is Scripture explaining it in a way to where you and I understand what this coexistence is? Christians living in a world with lost people? You, as a Christian, once were lost. We forget that. It's about perspective. That's what I want us to think today. As God has laid this message, it's perspective of the church. And you know what? It's not about this. It really is not. Church is the invisible creation. It's a supernatural entity that God is over. And as Christians, we are a part of His church. Kingdom mentality is the way I like to refer it. You're not going to share Christ with someone else. You're not going to invite someone else to have an encounter with Jesus Christ because they attend another church. Lord, help us. Amen. There are so many different soup bowls on Ray Road right now that it is really sad. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are joined by something that we cannot control. It has everything to do with Jesus. And I can tell you, you can be saved here, and you also can be saved at any other church that preaches the gospel of Christ. And so when we're out in this world, we have to be what's called the church. It's you. It's me. So I want us to look at ourselves. I want to do an inspection this morning. The second way that people see Jesus is as one who frees them. They look at Jesus as one who frees them of sin and is worthy of their worship. We talk about worship. We talk about expressing our worship. And I had a long conversation with our students specifically about this. And it's a shame, church, that we are ashamed to express ourselves in worship, because we feel that it's going to upset someone. Listen, it is scriptural to raise your hand in reverence to God. And so if you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit prompts you to raise your hand or to stand up or to come to the altar and you refuse, you have been disobedient to the Holy Spirit which God placed in you to control everything you say and everything you do in your life. My question is, how many of you are being controlled by that spirit this morning? How many of you are expecting the Holy Spirit to speak directly to you? That it's about you and it's about God this morning.
Amen.
It's the do. You're here. You're not here by mistake. I preached a couple of weeks ago. God only works by divine appointment. People miss that. You think you're here because you want to be here. No, you're here because God chose you, and you're here in obedience. As we look at really verses 9 and 10, there's three points that I want to look at this morning. In verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let me put it in perspective for you this morning. What this says is that if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, you know that you know that you know, God chose you. And I got to thinking about that thing, that God chose me. And I asked myself, why? To go and to do likewise. That's why. That's why He chose me. Now, the amazing thing about God, and we talked about this morning at the praise team, He's interested in one thing, and that's your heart. Nothing else really matters. Because out of your heart, there are going to be things that are covered under the do part. And praise God, we have an example. We have the likewise. It's not hidden. God didn't hide Christ from us. He didn't say, listen, I'm going to save you and go figure it out. No, He gave us everything we need. If we did not need it, guess what? God ain't giving it to us. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever sit in your little puddle of tears trying to figure out where you were going to go? And God says, I've given you everything that you need. Perspective. It's what we see. It's how we look at things. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 talks about living worthy of your calling. Now, this is very, very personal to me since God called me into ministry. But to be worthy of such a call, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, chosen with all, listen, this is how we do it. This is the do. This is the likewise. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God has called you and I to serve Him, to go and to do likewise, just as a time as this at Gourd Springs Baptist Church. I believe it with all of my heart. But I feel like I need to say something now. And I talked to Pastor Ronnie about this, and he agreed. But I want you to know, this has always been my stance, and it always will be. I want to be one place, and that's right smack dab in the center of God's will. Because if I am not in the center of God's will, the Bible says that I will not be profitable for myself nor you. I do believe that God is redirecting the call upon my life. Pastor Ronnie has said that, and it's to preach. And so you need to understand that Alan Smith is only pursuing one thing. and that is God. I am not pursuing another position anywhere else. God opened the door for me to preach at another Baptist church a couple of weeks ago. And I was obedient. They've asked me to come back next Sunday and the following Sunday. They have no pastor. They're sheep without a shepherd. And God chooses me? Why? But as I shared with Pastor Ronnie, you know, he and I, over the last 3 weeks, have spent 12 hours right here seeking God's direction, praying for our church and you, and I'm crying out to God. I don't want to miss Him. But I want you to know, God has me here. I am fully committed. But if God calls me to Timbuktu, China, I have to go. Amen. Just if God calls you. Yes. You have any questions about what God is doing in my life? Talk to me. Pray for me. Pray for this church. Pray for yourself. Take a long look in the mirror. Is that your stance? Are you ready to do likewise? Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that now. But I'm trusting God. Amen. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Here's the amazing thing about Scripture. When you understand that God chose you, He picked you. And when He picked you, He drew Him unto Himself. And as the perspective says, He foreknew your answer. Amen? So I want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to look at Pharaoh very, very briefly. God, Scripture says, hardened Pharaoh's heart after Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Okay? Exodus 9, chapter 9, verse 16. God's hardening always presupposes sin. And in fact, can be part of the punishment of that very sin. That's found in John chapter 12, verse 40. And let me tell you something. I want you to write these scriptural references down, because you need to know what's being preached from this pulpit. Don't depend upon me, because I can tell you I have zero to offer you. As a man, I have nothing to offer you. And the only thing I have to offer God is obedience. Amen. To be in a position of my life to say, "Yes, Lord." God can freely extend His mercy, or He can freely withhold it. We need to understand that. All deserve judgment. The question should never be, why did He not save that one? Rather, the question must always be, why did He save any of us? Romans 9, 20 and 21 says, "But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump," listen, "from the same lump, to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor." God knows your heart. He's concerned with your heart. And when He calls and asks you to do something, He already knows your answer. Amen. To be quite honest with you, that's a scary thing. So you better be prepared to say yes. Amen. for anything that God calls you to do. You just do it. You may not understand it. God may not want you to understand it right then. He just says, just do it. Scripture is full of people who just done it. Amen? Look how it turned out. But also look how it turned out for those that chose disobedience. We say that God doesn't care. And I want to talk about this a little bit. And I've said this. We say, especially in an invitation, that God doesn't care about the sins you've committed in your life. God doesn't care that you're not living for Him right now. He says, just come, come as you are, whosoever may come. Have you heard that before? You've heard it a lot probably from behind the pulpit. That He doesn't care. It's not theologically correct. God Almighty not caring? No, in fact, God cares a whole lot about the sin in your life. God cares a whole lot about you ignoring what He's calling you to do. He cares so much that He sent Christ to die so that we may be saved. God is a caring God. Absolutely, He wants you to come just as you are. He wants you to bring the burdens. He wants to bring you to bring the yoke so He can remove it and set you free because He cares for you, not because He doesn't care. If God didn't care about your sins and mine, then why did He send His only begotten Son to take care of what He doesn't care about? Just makes no sense. It's not theology 101. It's false doctrine that God doesn't care. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him for what? He cares for you. Jesus cares for you this morning. Jesus is concerned about the circumstance that's in your life. Jesus is so concerned about your circumstance that He's for you. Jesus is for you this morning. He's not against you. He wants life to be profitable for you, and He wants life to be profitable for the lost. He cares. Peter was shown this example when, after fishing all night, Jesus saying, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." Listen to Peter, Simon's response. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." Amen. Nevertheless, God, I'm just going to do it. Yeah, I've toiled all night long. I'm a professional fisherman, didn't catch anything, not even a minnow. But at your word, I'll do it. And what happens? They did the likewise, and the nets were full. If you and I, as God's church, and Christians will just do likewise, God will fill the nets. You know, it really is not about the numbers. Let God deal with the numbers. I can't save a soul. But if Jesus is involved, He can save anybody. Amen. Anybody. Our Master can save. The second thing I want, we look at this and we are chosen. We are a chosen generation. We're also, verse 9, the second part says, His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Not only did He choose us, He called us out of darkness. Amen. He called us. He saved us from the eternal death, the wages of the sin that is in you and in me. And oftentimes as Christians, we allow that sin to rear its ugly head, and that's what the world sees versus Christ. And when the world sees that, I can tell you right now, they're not interested in church at all. They're comfortable in the world. Lord knows the world is revoking God at every corner. But let me say this. That which God ordained, man can never revoke. Amen. You know, we talk about prayer in school. That law means nothing to me. There's no judiciary committee on the face of the earth that can take away what God has gifted me. Only God. God says, I will give it to you and I will take it away. But when He gives it to you, you better steward it. You better take care of it. How are you doing? How are you doing when it comes to that? Conduit. We are conduit for this generation. Conduit is a channel for conveying who Christ is in us. Conduit is a through for protecting God's Word through the way we live God's Word. That's what the world sees. Scripture says that we are to call, or excuse me, we are to guard the truth or doctrine. It doesn't say we are to protect God's Word. It says that we are to guard it. And the way that we guard it is when we read it, we do it in our life. That's the stewardship part. So if you're not living according to Scripture, you're not guarding the doctrine that Jesus died for, that was given to us to show us how we should live. Ephesians 2:10 says, Christians are God's workmanship. If you're saved this morning, this applies directly to you. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to what? Do good works. God created you and I to just do it. Amen. To do good works epitomizes our behavior, which then glorifies God and makes Christ real to others. God living through us is our purpose fulfilled. Do you want to fulfill God's purpose in your life? Then allow God to live through you. A choice. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are what? Fully committed to Him. Do you want to be strengthened this morning? What is your commitment to God? Is it 100% committed this morning? Christians are chosen, belonging to God. And this group of words says, so that. So God chooses us so that we may declare His praise. I love that word. Declare God's praise. It's not, Jesus saved me. No, it's Jesus saved a wretch like me. And Jesus chooses to use a wretch like me. It's to proclaim His gospel to a lost and dying world. To be an example for other brothers and sisters in Christ. To be the conduit that the world sees Jesus and not you and I. Amen. The gospel says that when you die with Christ, your old self is dead. It's gone. Let me ask you a question. Why is it tagging along? Why is the old you still in the shadows? Christ killed it. He died on the cross so that you don't have to carry that around. Amen. You are not who you used to be. Stopped acting that way. Isaiah 64:6, the most righteous deeds or works from our perspective are as filthy rags to God because of the state of sin. We can't serve God separate from the Holy Spirit. If you are lost today and you say, man, I am serving God, no, you are not. You cannot. He cannot accept it as good works because of what? The taintment of sin in your life. It has to be prompted and controlled by the Holy Spirit, which is a gift at conversion. The same gift that Jesus gave the disciples. Matter of fact, he said, boys, sit tight, because I got to give you something that you're going to need. What's controlling your life this morning? Is your doing fleshly, or is it because of the Holy Spirit? First John 3:16-18. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? It says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, we talk about love. We try and understand love, but oftentimes we don't practice it. Our lives are the conduit that love is to be shared through. You see, people desire to be loved. People need it. So people what? Search for it. Oftentimes people mistake it. The world has confused it, but God has shown it. Amen. Now you and I are to show it likewise. Got a little thing here that I thought was very interesting. You know, we're at the end of school year. And talking about this word conduct. That's my third word, conduct, or our behavior. Now, I remember in elementary school, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, very vaguely, they gave something called a conduct grade. Or they graded you on your behavior. To be quite honest with you, during that time, I really felt like my mom and dad were more concerned about what I got conduct-wise than they did me learning the three R's, which has always confused me, because in reality, Michelle Restifo, there is not three R's. There's actually only one, because it's reading, R, writing, W, arithmetic, A. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
However, what I found out is that is no longer the case. The three R's have been changed, and I want to focus upon that this morning, because here's what I see in the change. They have revoked God out of school.
Amen.
But it's amazing to me how relevant the three R's to the Scripture. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to me. God is God. You can't evoke Him. Come on. Church, I tell you what we need to do. We need to invoke Him.
Amen.
I tell you what we need to do, Bernie. We need to sneeze. Don't we? We need to sneeze. It was a story that Bernie sent out, and basically it was his high school graduation, and they were specifically told not to mention anything about God in anything that's said. Well, oh my, that probably would have disqualified me. Faux show. At the end of everything, one guy gets up there, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I started to read it, but I'm not. At the end of everything, one student gets up at the microphone, and he simply sneezes. And the whole graduating class says, God bless you. Hey, listen, we need to be a church that sneezes. We need to be a church that says, God bless you. Because He wants to. Not because He don't care what you've done. No, He does care what you've done. Because what you've done is going to get you a place in hell. But He cared enough about you that He wants to save you.
Amen.
So we look at the ABCs. Well, first of all, Let me give you the new R's, okay? Resourcefulness. Is that correct? Resourcefulness. Scripture says that God will meet all of our needs if we will seek Him first. May I ought to teach the Bible in public school.
Amen.
Second R is responsibility. Love your neighbor as yourself. How about let's teach the kids that?
Amen.
Sounds like I need to teach a Bible course in public school.
Amen,
and the last one is respect. So they go from the three R's to resourcefulness, responsibility, and respect. You see, my behavior as a little boy reflected upon what was going on in my home.
Amen.
What was being taught to be by my mom and dad. It's ironic that they were teaching me to be resourceful, to be responsible for my own actions and not blame the world for a choice that I made, and to respect others. You know, if you want to be respected, you need to respect others. But in order for you to be respected, then you need to live a life that's respectful. Our behavior, church, is a reflection on our Father.
Amen.
Conduct chart. The ABCs of classroom behavior. A, always follow directions quickly. First time obedience. What? Just do it. God tells you to do something, just do it. B, be polite, respectful, and courteous. Philippians 2:3 says, esteem or regard one another as more important than yourself. The C, come to class on time and prepared. Do not forsake the assembling. It's about an attitude, able to test the truth by knowing, being prepared by reading God's Word. S is to stay safe while working and playing. Purify our hearts while we serve God. Then you go to the classroom behavior chart, and it's colors and this word that we forget, consequences. The color green, actually spelled green, I am ready to learn. Every morning, Christians, we should have a green light.
Amen.
Ready to learn, prepared, prayed up. All students begin the day on this color. Then you have yellow. Now that's a warning. I need to think about what I'm doing and follow the rules. Students lose 5 minutes of their break time. You see, that's a Christian's being able to discern right and what's wrong. Recognizing the first phase of a temptation that's in your life. Students lose 5 minutes of their break time. We lose 5 minutes of quality time with God. Orange, I need to slow down and listen and change my attitude. Students lose 10 minutes of their break time. Our attitude as Christians should be to go and to do likewise.
Amen.
The Great Commission. But when we choose not to slow down and listen to our Father in heaven, we lose more than 10 minutes of a break time. We lose 10 minutes of time we can serve Him and do good works. And then lastly, red says, I need to stop what I'm doing and I need to change my attitude. You get no break and possible office referral or loss of other privileges. When God's favor is not on your life, you can forget about being blessed. But here's what I believe. I believe if you bless others, God will bless you.
That
blessing, I think, is an action word. And then lastly, the report card. The conduct code says these are how the students will receive their conduct grade during each grading period. This is us standing before God and giving an account. E, excellent. 0 to 2 cards, yellow or orange, but no red. S, satisfactory. That's 3 to 9 cards, all colors, but no more than 5 reds. N, needs improvement. 10 to 18 cards, all colors, but no more than 10 reds. And then the last is U for unsatisfactory. 19 or more cards. Let me ask you a question, church. What is your conduct grade? Is God going to place an E? Is He going to place an S? Is He going to place an N? Or is He going to place a U? Only you can answer that question. But I'll also tell you this. The world's answering it for you as well. That's a fact. Acts 1:8 says, Christian behavior includes heeding Jesus' call for us to what? Be witnesses to the ends of the earth. I love this quote by Benjamin Franklin. It says, it takes many good deeds to build a good reputation and only one bad one to lose it. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 says, Christians are to share the gospel. Paul defines the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's been said to preach the gospel using words if necessary. And that's the summation of my message. Go and do likewise. Live the Scripture. And if you have to, share it with your mouth. Times do you get to talk to the world? But the world certainly sees you. You have a reputation. Amen. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, be imitators of God, this likewise, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. Why are Christians struggling with this? We are choosing not to abide in the vine. I think it's the out of sight, out of mind. We think we can't see Jesus physically, so it's okay for us to act the way we act. He sees everything. He is in our midst this morning. He is in your home. He will be in your vehicle. He sees and cares for all. But we don't act that way. We are not allowing ourselves to see Jesus in everything that we do. There's no likewise. We must start paying attention to the details. Jesus is those details. You see, Mary and Martha, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was cleaning. She missed the fact that Jesus was there teaching. So much so that she rebukes the Lord and demands that He make Mary help her clean. And Jesus, in His lowliness and in His meekness, and this is the likewise, church, He turned to Martha and He said, Martha, Martha, Mary has chose what is good. When's the last time you just sit at Jesus' feet? That's what it took for me over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I got so busy serving that I didn't take the time to just sit and to listen. And I was prepared because I said, God, I want You to open my ears and I want You to open my heart. I want this peace. I want this passion, this yearning, this unction that Scripture talks about. We are no closer to God today than we were yesterday because we are failing to follow through. You see, if we leave here this morning and we don't follow through with what God has spoke, then it will do us no good or the world any good. That's the reason why it's so important when we come together that we leave the same way together, unified. Amen. The same heart, the same spirit, the same love for the community. And each of us has a responsibility upon our own action. Quit worrying about other people and what they're doing. Pray for them, but your best thing is to seek God. Romans 12:2, Paul urged the Romans to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, surrendering our hearts and yielding our bodies to Christ so that He might continue God's work through us. We are to be beacons of light in this dark world, using our spiritual gifts to advance His kingdom, that kingdom mentality, living to please God and not ourselves. We do this when we abide in His Word and then live it out as we what? Are enabled by and through the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus Christ was our example until He took His last breath on the cross. He was obedient to God's will. He never did anything of His own will, ever. As Jesus was dying on the cross, He looked out at His executioners and He asked His Father to what? Forgive them. Luke 23:34. Jesus was doing more than fulfilling prophecy and making intercession for the transgressors, Isaiah 53:12 says. He was practicing what He preached, Luke 6:27-28. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. That's the likewise. What's your conduct grade? I sent Jordan a text yesterday. She and I have talked, and as all of our graduates, just a lot of things going on in their life right now. They're not thinking about tomorrow. They're thinking about 5 years from now and 10 years from now. And it can be very distracting and very confusing. And I told Jordan this. I said, Jordan, be you for Him. And that's my message to you this morning. Be you. God chose you. Okay, God chose me. So what God says is, Alan, I want you to be you for me, not for yourself. And so as we leave this place, that involves every aspect of our life. Everything. The way we conduct ourselves in front of our families, the way that we love our wives, the way that we love our husbands, the way that we raise our children in the way that they should go, the way that we interact with the community and with our workforce. We have to be the conduit of love. We have to understand that God says, I chose you so that you can proclaim His praises. How is God speaking, or how has He spoke to you this morning? I'm going to ask the ladies to come as we sing our song of invitation, and I just want to encourage you. God will meet you wherever you're at, but I'm going to tell you something right now. There was power at the foot of the cross. Amen. Jesus knelt down and He washed the feet of the disciples. Why? Because He wanted to be an example. And Mary, in her humility, set at Jesus' feet to be taught. Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to use you. What is your choice this morning? As we stand, as we sing, I am here. I will be more than happy to pray with you. But let me say this.
If you haven't visited the feet of Jesus, let me encourage you to do so. He's waiting for you. He chose you. What is He calling you to do? I think He's calling us to go and to do likewise. So let's what? Just
do it.
Let's worship Him.